From the Arts Center in Carrboro, you're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, folks, and thank you for tuning us in. We're at the helm once again. I'm in the studio here with President of the Apex Arts Council once again, Bob Crowley.
Good morning.
He just finished designing a beautiful poster for my radio show. Appreciate that, Bob.
Yeah, copies available in the lobby.
Where's the lobby? I've also got Rachel Fowler, who's just approached Bob and the Apex Arts Council about doing an internship. So at some point, we're going to be talking about her background. Good morning, Rachel.
Yes, good morning.
And, of course, Rocco, my usual co-host. We're going to start today with the lead band at the Rockfest 2013 that I was just MC for in Advance, North Carolina. And so I'll give you some idea of the type of music that was being played. Before we go there, I'm just going to give you a rundown of all the bands that played, in case you recognize any of them. There was Andrew Marshall. There were the Soul Searchers, Summers Bowenstiel, Acidic Brew, Moonshine Springs, Blues Extract, Confusion, Blues Junkies, Yesterday Lane, and the band you're about to hear from right now, the Donahue Station Band featuring Michael Brian Spainauer, who's been touted as the world's new Jimi Hendrix. He's not trying to be Jimi Hendrix, he just gets compared to him a lot. And this is the Donahue Station Band giving you The House of the Rising Sun.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to WCOM Community Radio. Support for the station comes from our underwriters as well as our contributors and volunteers. We are your voice in our community. Coming up in the next half hour of Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, it's Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven, performed by Claudio. Now back to Claudio.
Hello once again. And again, thanks for tuning us in. That was the Donaha Station Band. You can look that up on the internet. There's two N's, Donaha Station Band. And you'd be surprised what you find there. The Rock Fest was an amazing success, but you talk about one tired MC at the end of it. It was from noon to midnight nonstop bands.
Oh, you love it.
I was so beat. I think I had 2 days worth of catching up to do just to catch up on sleep.
Yeah, well.
At the end of that. But it was a great time, great turnout in Advance North Carolina. This is going to go on every year, so it'll be happening again next year around the same time, well, May the 18th.
Now that you got that out of your system, would you tell me the name of this show?
Of this particular show?
Yeah.
Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Or as Bill would say, Radio Theater.
Uh-huh. Well, I know Claudio Speakeasy, but when are you going to start the Radio Theater?
Well, I try to sprinkle a little bit of that in, and every once in a while Rocco gets on my case. But at this point, the Carbro Arts Center, everybody's starting to tell me we want to hear a little more theater.
Yeah. I want to do a voice or two.
Well, I'll have to work that in. At some point, I think I'm going to try and dedicate some entire shows to it. I just lost my headset sound there for a second. Are you leaning on cable? No. That was just me then. I've actually decided to get a little ambitious with later on today and do Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven and tell me. I tell you what, that's going to be a tongue twister. But, so I'm going to try and make good. What's your point?
Well, that, you know, you always say this is radio theater, and you and I have talked about this enough times that we need to do this. We need to do some radio drama.
Yes. Well, it's coming right up. I've been whipped with that stick quite some time now. So,
well, I'm going to be whipping you with it because the Arts Council, the Apex Arts Council, we just recently picked up a new volunteer, someone who's moved into the area. Her name is Kathy Drexler, and she's a theater type. And we are going to put together, finally, again, a community theater group for Apex.
And what was your idea? You were telling me something about pre-recorded audio.
One of the things we were thinking about, we were trying to figure out ways of raising money and getting this group started. Now, if you want to do a stage production, that's a lot of money, a lot of work, a lot of time, and so on. So it's a little difficult. I mean, if we wanted to jump right in and do Pirates of Penzance as the first one, that would be one heck of an effort. So I was come up with the idea that there are a number of stations across the country that do play radio drama. Well, why can't we start the community theater by just a bunch of people sitting around with microphones and a couple of editing programs and put together shows, dramas, that we can sell or donate or whatever to stations across the country? And this is something that I want to try. In fact, I want your voice in them.
This is the reason I'm being kicked in the butt. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking for an outlet.
Mm-hmm. I figured there had to be some kind of a hidden motive here.
You know, before
that's the agenda.
Before we take this stuff on to Broadway, I want to have it here in New Haven, you know.
Well, tell us about the intern you've brought to the table.
Yeah, and of course I've got a guest with me, Rachel Fowler, who's from Apex. Rachel is just joining us here at the Arts Council to do an internship for the summer. So, Rachel, it's all yours. By the way, this is her first time on radio, so give her a lot of applause.
Go ahead and aim that mic at her.
Thank you. Yes, I just finished my first year at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, and now I'm home for the summer in Apex.
Anything with Carnegie sounds impressive.
Yes, and now that I'm home for the summer, I wanted to do something that involved the arts, something that I could learn, you know, the business side of, because mm-hmm. I grew up doing dance and playing piano, and now I want to see, you know, what kind of art goes on in the community, so...
So you're inspired by the business end of it. That's an interesting jump because commonly the artist doesn't want the business side of it. I know I've had to fight that aspect in me for a lot. I do the art, but I try to stay away from the business, let an agent or somebody else handle that. But then when you wind up in a dead zone for agents, you got to surface on your own. What created that willingness to go in that direction in you?
I think I've always kind of wanted a leadership position with management, and I know to get to that type of position, I can work my way up through learning the business of an organization, because I eventually want to go into international management, and so starting off locally is a great way to start.
And speaking of the international element, you're going to Germany sometime soon.
Yes, in the beginning of June, I'll be going to Vallander, which is just 45 minutes away from Frankfurt.
And what's the agenda there?
There I'll be studying at their management school, some of their management classes, which is sponsored by my business school at Carnegie Mellon.
So this will actually be in English, no doubt.
Yes, definitely. They give you a German crash course in the beginning, but I don't know how much of that I'll retain.
Gadgets. So how long will this be for?
This will be for 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Are you going to get any chance to see Germany while you're there? Going to stay a little longer than the 2 weeks to do a little touring before you come back? Or?
Yes, we will.
You really should.
Definitely tour. We'll be going to Koblenz.
Take the Eurail.
And we're allowed to go anywhere we want during the weekend.
Fantastic.
So I have many options.
Well, Koblenz is a good choice, too.
Yes.
So you'll see some amazing architecture and just the whole layout of Germany is a pretty beautiful thing. The one thing that I think you'll be most impressed with is how clean they keep the place. Everyone is conscious of keeping Germany clean.
That'll be nice.
Yeah. That's one of the things I miss, because around here trash is everywhere, it seems. Over there, you if you see something, it's just because somebody hasn't picked it up yet.
I'm excited, yes.
Good. Well, good luck with all that. And what are your plans for her internship here? How are you going to break her in?
I'm going to work her to death, I'll tell you. Well, maybe not quite that bad. But no, this was rather fortuitous, because I've got some projects that I need done, and we've already started working on some of them, and it's going to be a lot of fun for the summer. And I like the idea of somebody coming in and wanting to learn about how to manage a nonprofit organization, how to manage an organization. That's what I've done most of my life. But by tying into the arts, it's a great way to go. So, I'm looking forward to...
Any particular agenda to start with?
Well, we've got some government things we have to do, so we're looking at various licenses and sales tax stuff that we have to get done. So, I mean, if you're going to do management, that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, people think of the arts and they figure, oh, it's all painting and sculpture. Well, not quite. If you get into my part of it, when I'm not writing one of my books, I'm actually probably doing accounting or management, or trying to figure out where I can replace the volunteer that just quit or something like that.
So poster designs for certain individuals.
Poster designs, yeah, yeah. That's it.
And you've just put up another review.
Yep.
Of my performance of Seafarers by Alan Hall, so it's not a review I wrote.
Right, exactly. We have a piece on our website, a section of the website that is all reviews of cinema and art events. Mostly Claudio has written, but we're going to tell you all his secrets, all the things that you didn't know about him. Alan Hall,
He drinks his coffee naked in the morning. Yes.
Yeah, and it's not something you want to see.
You weren't invited anyway.
But Alan R. Hall, who's a well-known critic in the area.
Well-known from the Chapel Hill News, but he's worked for many other branches as well.
Okay. He wrote a review of some of Claudio's work a couple of years ago, and we just posted it on our website, including a couple of photographs. So if you want to see the face behind the voice, such as it is, you can...
Naked, and I'm turning my back.
We're going to do a naked show one day, you know? How about that? I think that'd be a wonderful thing. We're just sitting...
What do naked people say on radio?
Yeah, exactly. You know, what do you say to a naked woman? That's... There was an old...
What was that thing in the elevator? Yeah, what do you say to a naked man in the elevator?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's... That's it. But, we might get some people standing out here looking in the windows. You know, it might,
they're wide open right now.
Yeah, absolutely. But nobody's naked at the moment. Maybe later, but not now. So that's pretty much there. So you want to see the review? You want to see what Mr. Claudio is all about? Find out about living with gypsies and all that stuff? You definitely want to go to the Arts Council website, www.apexartscouncil.org.
And, of course, they're also my underwriter to acknowledge that.
Yes, we're the boss here. Well, maybe not.
Watch it, buddy. I'm the big cheese here.
No, he has creative control.
What was it? Last time I was on, I signed off as the big cheese. I have no idea where that came from. It just sort of is one of those brain droppings. I signed off as the big, and I got more responses for calling myself the big cheese than I have on email in quite some time.
I remember, Claudio.
Le grand fromage.
Yes. Don't call yourself anything smelly or people are going to respond.
Yeah, that's also that's a question I've heard asked a number of times. Why is it that Swiss cheese has the holes when it's Gorgonzola that needs the ventilation?
But buy the Gorgonzola socks.
We might do a few other things with Mr. Claudio here, too. We want to, we're talking about having him run some classes. One of the things we also do is we run classes in creative writing and poetry and the business of art and painting and so on. And we started, Claudio and I started talking yesterday about him doing some classes. He has a very pedagogue style, kind of like Aristotle and Plato used to do, where it's one-on-one.
You better explain that, Lucy.
Well, I mean, it's...
Pedagogue style. Yeah. I'm seeing a poodle here.
No, well, you would definitely not be a poodle. You'd be more like a Shiloh Shepherd.
Pedagogue style means... it lends itself more to Q&A.
Yeah, it's more question and answer. If you've ever read Plato's Republic, you know what I'm talking about. It's Plato having a conversation and asking questions and people responding. And I've seen you do this in some things, so...
I usually do Q&A at the end of my performances I think what we were discussing is possibly just performing two or three pieces at a time and then letting the audience sort of bring about some Q&A, doing it as a more of a lecture, but letting the Q&A be what pulls the lecture forward.
Yeah, maybe we should have Rocco up there, too.
Rocco would be great. As a matter of fact, when this comes about, I may tap him on the shoulder.
Yeah, well, you know how to teach. You're a professor, right? Or still are.
School principal. He's done everything.
Well, I've worked with the public schools for 41 years.
Yeah. Well, then you must know something about teaching.
A little bit.
Yeah, I just posted a quote the other day on Facebook, though, about from Mark Twain that had something to do with that. He says, you know, in the beginning, God made idiots, and that was for practice. Then he invented school boards.
Well, you know, Bob, you're talking about Plato's Republic. That is one of the classic historical books of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
And there are so many things in the Republic that have become... just the way things are done in so many countries today, you know, democracy, elected officials, intelligent people should be running the government.
You'd like to think so, yes.
Can we try that sometime?
I know. But Plato was saying all of that, you know, 2,500 years
ago. It is prophecy.
Amazing.
Down to it. And I have the book on my shelf.
Well,
spend some time.
Well, actually, we did have some government stuff. I know last couple of times I was on, I was talking about some resolutions and laws that our legislature here in North Carolina were going to put forward. Well, we decided among a lot of the nonprofits through the nonprofit lobby group in the state, Arts North Carolina, and also through the North Carolina Center for Nonprofits, that we were going to look into some of these laws and take a little political action. So we sent out a couple of call to action to the members of the organizations, and we managed to get 300 or 400 people to call legislators all across the state to send them emails, to send them letters about this. There were proposals out there to eliminate the corporate tax deduction from North Carolina tax, not federal, North Carolina tax, but eliminate the corporate tax deduction for donations to nonprofits. And also there was another piece of legislation out there that would have had nonprofits having to charge sales tax for, like, tickets to performances, classes, and so on. And those two measures, because of the political action, have failed now, and they would have to be redrafted and brought up again next session, next year. So that could happen, but at least we've gotten them off the docket now.
Let them eat crow.
Yeah, well, or raven. Maybe that's later.
That's later. another thing you brought up. Oh, I want to mention just how my heart really goes out to the situation in Oklahoma. My God, I had no idea until I turned on the news last night that there was a tornado 200 miles wide.
I think it was a Category 4, which is one step below the highest.
The most extreme.
The most extreme tornado you can have, which would be over 200-mile-an-hour winds, Category 5.
Well, our hearts definitely go out to those people. I know there's been a lot of life lost as well, and children in that regard.
Yeah.
Whew, I had no idea when I was turning on the news last night that something so serious had taken place.
Yeah.
And they're under the threat today.
Even today.
Even today, yeah. They could get another
tornado. There's some major storms moving through the Midwest and the and so on. Luckily, we're out of it here. I mean, we had two, 3 years ago was a meetup on Holly Springs and a few other places.
It took down a Lowe's down the road from me. Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
And a few other stores as well. But our hearts go out to those folks in Oklahoma. On that note, you brought up the fact that, on another note, actually, the French have voted in same-sex marriage. Yes,
yes, so yes. That's another nail in the coffin. Of,
does this mean the entire country has voted it in?
Yes,
or?
Okay. Yes. This is a federal law in France. They have now accepted that. So we're getting closer to making this happen.
So is this an indication that the Pope can now marry the altar boy?
Yeah, I guess, you know. I don't know which pope you mean. There are two of them in residence now.
I was just using the metaphor.
Yeah, so I guess that's okay.
Look out. It's a different world now, brother.
Yeah, pope and the altar boy. It's okay as long as you don't get into the habit.
Yes.
So but that's what the French did, and maybe North Carolina will do it someday. I don't know.
And what is the scoop on legalizing marijuana? I know Colorado's done it. I know California's done it. I know a few other places have done it. But for
Oregon.
Some reason, the feds have not approved it yet.
No.
So in any of these states, this could still be considered a crime if they manage to turn the table.
Yeah, I've heard an interview recently from a fellow in Denver who runs a marijuana store. He has like 200 different varietals, and you can buy it and have it mixed to your specifications. Mm-hmm. And originally, he was supplying it for medical use, but now it's open, and you can buy it legally in Colorado. Or can
gourmet
you?
Marijuana.
Yeah, but
I would assume you can, since the state has legalized it, but the feds have not.
Right, and according to the Constitution and the general way we do things, federal laws supersede state laws. So even though Colorado, California, Oregon, whatever all else, may have legalized it within the state, the federal law still applies.
That's pretty interesting, because these people have invested big capital in putting these establishments together, and I'm assuming the selling is going on.
Yeah, it's going on. The interview I heard, this guy is doing almost $1 million a year business. Because he does mail order and some other things, too, I guess.
It's going to turn into a profitable business everywhere across the country.
It should
eventually be
a profitable business. I mean, I'm not an advocate of drugs, but marijuana, I mean, alcohol is probably worse than marijuana.
I would say alcohol is much worse, yeah.
Yeah, and it used to be legal. I mean, with the famous story, Queen Victoria, she used to smoke a joint when she had bad menstrual cramps. You know, so if it was okay for old Queen Vic, I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, tends to calm me down a little bit.
Well, Claudio and Bob and Rachel, we have a marijuana promo.
I was just going to ask you about that.
You
Willie
hear
Nelson,
that?
Yes.
Sure.
The man that apologized for smoking a joint
Willie
on
Nelson.
The White House roof, yes.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
And pass that joint.
All right.
That was good old Willie there. Yeah? Do you remember that story of him having a smoke on the White House roof while Jimmy Carter was in office with a security guard?
Yeah.
He apologized for it later in his book about Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy wasn't up there with him, was he?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I know he wouldn't inhale, but...
I don't know where Billy was.
Well, Billy was in the basement with a beer.
And peanuts. Yeah.
But, we've still got that bit of controversy out there. I mean, what are we going to do? It's federal laws against it, the state laws for it. Do we modify the federal laws? I don't know.
You know, I think as much as the government thinks that no matter how they abuse us, people are never going to rise up and you know, tell them to behave or even kick their butts out of office, which is really what should happen.
Yeah.
But I think if they push this marijuana deal in the wrong direction, that might actually get an uprising going.
It could. I mean, the whole thing. A lot of the talk against marijuana actually came out of William Randolph Hearst back in the early part of the 20th century. Hearst had some rather large investments in hemp plantations in South America.
Mr. Long Island, yeah.
Yeah, and, marijuana is a form of hemp.
That's what they make rope out of, yeah.
And he
commonly used in theater.
He put a got his... political friends to put a big excise or a tariff on hemp imports to protect his investment. And then he did, through his newspapers all across the country, this big marijuana is awful, marijuana is terrible, we should ban it and whatever, and got some political action on his side.
All so that he could control the market.
He could control the hemp market. And, in fact, there's a great movie if you ever want to see it. I mean, it was made seriously, but if you can view it as a comedy. It's Reefer Madness.
I'm sure everybody's heard of it. I know I have. I've never seen it.
I've seen it. It's hilarious. I mean, if you know anything about this issue, if you know anything about it, if you have smoked, you're going to fall on the floor laughing. This is really something to see. But it's every stereotype you could ever imagine.
And, of course, as always, Cheech and Chong's Up in Smoke. Yeah. And on that note, I say, why don't we go to some music so we can clear our heads?
Little music. Cloud.
Little music.
Yeah. We've set ourselves up for prison.
Rocco is going to be our musical host here.
Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater. Remember, you're listening to 103.5 FM Community Radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro, WCOM. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day.
tuned to 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Están escuchando a 103.FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Thanks for listening to our station.
My name is Jim Gray, and I am a judge of the Superior Court in California. Did you know that since the federal government first banned marijuana in 1937, that usage in this country has gone up by about 4,000%? Or that an American is arrested on marijuana charges every 38 seconds? If you are wondering if any of this makes sense, you are not alone. To find out more, contact the Marijuana Policy Project at 1-877-JOIN-MPP or visit them on the web at mpp.org.
Your time is important. Take us along. We're WCOM Community Radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Back to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Now Claudio performing Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven.
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, tapping at my chamber door. "Only this, and nothing more." Ah, distinctly I remember it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly I had sought to borrow from my book surcease of sorrow, sorrow for the lost Lenore. For the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore, nameless here forevermore. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before. So that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, "'Tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. Some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. This it is, and nothing more." Presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. "Sir," said I, "or madam, truly your forgiveness I implore. But the fact is I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly came your tapping at my chamber door, that I scarce was sure I heard you. Here I opened the door. Darkness there, and nothing more." Deep into that darkness peering, long I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, "Lenore." This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, "Lenore." Merely this, and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping, somewhat louder than before. "Surely," said I, "surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see, then, what thereat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind, and nothing more." Open here I flung the shutter, when with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with mien of lord or lady perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of Pallas, just above my chamber door, perched and sat, and nothing more. Then this ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore. "Though my crest be shorn and shaven, though," I said, "art sure no craven, ghastly grim and ancient raven, wandering from the nightly shore, tell me what thy lordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Much I marveled this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore, for we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door, bird or beast upon the sculptured bust above his chamber door, with such name as Nevermore. But the raven sitting lonely on the placid bust spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing farther than he uttered, not a feather than he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me as my hopes have flown before. Then the bird said, Nevermore. Startled at the stillness broken, by reply so aptly spoken, doubtless, said I, what it utters is its only stock and store, caught from some unhappy master whom unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster, till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope that melancholy burden bore of never, nevermore. But the raven still beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of bird and bust and door. Then upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking nevermore. This I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing, to the fowl whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining, on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er, but whose velvet violet lining with the lamplight gloating o'er, she shall press, ah, nevermore. Then methought the air grew denser, perfumed by an unseen censer, swung by seraphim whose footfalls tinkled on the tufted floor. Wretch, I cried, thy God hath lent thee, by these angels he hath sent thee, respite, respite, and nepenthe from thy memories of Lenore. Quaff, O quaff, this kind nepenthe, and forget this lost Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Prophet, said I, or thing of evil, prophet still of bird or devil, whether tempest sent or whether tempest tossed thee here ashore, desolate yet all undaunted, on this desert land enchanted, on this home by horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore, is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, I implore, quoth the raven, nevermore. Be that word our sign of parting, bird or fiend, I shrieked upstarting, get thee back into the tempest and the night's Plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as a token of that lie thy soul hath spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken. Quit the bust above my door. Take thy beak from out my heart, and take thy form from off my door. Quoth the raven, nevermore. And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting, on the pallid bust of Pallas, just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon that is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor, and my soul from out that shadow lies floating on the floor, shall be lifted nevermore.
Chapel Hill, Carrboro. This is WCOM. I'd like to tell you that your host, Claudio, is available as a poet with a one-man band for house concerts, performing original and traditional literary readings. Claudio is a well-known poet as well as a classical poet and a master storyteller. His website is claudioarts.com. Now back to Claudio. Claudio, that was an amazing performance of The Raven.
Thank you. Talk about a little tongue twister there.
Yeah, that was quite a piece. And I'm glad you're finally now getting closer to the radio.
Does this qualify me as trying to bring radio theater to
the
surface?
Well, it's an attempt. I'm still looking for real theater about it.
Well, I missed drama. 16 verses there, but you know.
Well, we'll get to it. I'm going to keep prodding you. You can count on this every time I'm on until we actually do one.
So what do you think of this radio experience, Rachel? Let's put you on the spot.
It's definitely different than any station I've heard before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I like how relaxed it is.
Good.
I try and picture what it would be like. And
we're here to hang out and have fun.
This is very relaxed and go with the flow, which is different.
Good.
I like it.
Good, good, good. I wanted to ask you, so how are you sort of setting your compass to go about this internship? And it's a pretty brave move overall. What actually catapulted you into choosing that as a means to sort of establish a more of a reputation?
I definitely wanted to do something with nonprofit organizations. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of passion with service, and I wanted to challenge myself. That's why I went to Carnegie Mellon, because it was in Pittsburgh, where I've never been before. And so I figured, you know, doing something like with a nonprofit organization, not many people do. Mm-hmm. It's completely different, and I wanted to, you know, discover a new challenge.
It certainly has nobility in it, which is something rare these days.
Mm-hmm.
To work in the sense of helping people. That's kind of how I see this radio show, too. Whoever comes on, I want to, in every way I can, find a support system by connecting them with our listeners. And, you know, if anything can come about, then people can contact each other and help each other. That's the whole premise.
Right, right.
And what say ye, Mr. Crowley? He's sitting there like the raven on the door.
Yes, well, I'm sitting on a chair, not a bus to Palace, but that's close. But I agree with absolutely everything Rachel said. You know, I've been all about service for a lot of years, and you know, I've done some really, I don't know, I would call them incredible, and I'd be embarrassed to talk about all of them throughout my life. But you know, this is my give back. I've picked up a lot of information, I've picked up a lot of learning, I've picked up a lot of experience. Now's my time to give it back, teaching, running the Arts Council, trying to make everyone's life just a little bit better culturally.
You're a member of several other things as well, not just the Apex Arts Council.
Good Lord, I'm a member of too many bloody things here. I still work with the New Hope Valley Railway to some extent. I'm now on the board of directors of a group called Arts Access. Arts Access is a statewide nonprofit that brings access to the arts to the disabled. Disabled artists to show their work, and other disabled to be able to enjoy the art through whether it's interpreting plays or radio shows, even in sign language for the deaf, providing access for the blind, all of that stuff. That's what Art Access does. And then also on the history side, I I still work with the Chatham County Chatham County Historical Association. Shifting gears there, getting that. I do their newsletter, and I do a number of things. And by the way,
that's based out of the new courthouse, right?
Yeah, that's brand new now. We're about to open to the public the courthouse. If you remember, a few years ago,
in the Circle in Pittsburgh, yes,
in the Circle in Pittsburgh, and it's ready to go. And believe me, anybody, as soon as we're open, I think it's this week it opens up to the public. Go. It's a fantastic museum in there.
You said the bottom floor is the museum, right?
The bottom floor is all museum now, and they hired a professional museum designer to come in and lay it out, and it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. Hmm. So that's there, and then I'm also on the board of the Federation of North Carolina Historical Societies within the Department of Cultural Resources, and I have about 14 nonprofits I work with in some way or shape or form. The ones I mentioned are the ones where I do most, but others I still manage to get involved, at least as a member and volunteer, if not in some kind of leadership position.
Once again, no nobility services. It's good to know.
I hope so. I hope so. And I'm not really looking at it as being nobility. I'm just a guy looking to help and make sure that I can use my talents to make everyone else's life a little bit better.
And essentially that qualifies everybody in the room here today. Rocco is going to be heading into the hills next week, so I won't have him as my co-host. Hopefully I'll have president of WCOM, Bill McClymont.
Bill will be your co-host.
Wonderful, and thank you, Bill. I'll contact you by email.
Job.
Oh, I know, he always does. And I'm actually going to try and see if I can't put together a little skit that him and I can perform as radio theater, because he'd be perfect for it.
He has a terrific voice.
He does.
He really does.
I love his demeanor. He's got he has a very theater, whether he knows it or not, he has a very theater-oriented attitude, it seems.
He does.
A theater.
And he's
theater,
a good,
what did he say?
And he's a great guy. He really is.
A good guy to have on board. And I think that's pretty much going to bring us to a wrap. We might close out with some good music. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
And Bob, thanks for the usual historical perspectives.
I'm always willing to be here.
And me, I'm just full of it, but I will try to keep radio theater alive, and I'll try to go more and more in that direction. And Rocco, as usual, thank you.
Thank you, Claudio.
Thank you for tuning us in. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. You keep us tuned in, and we promise we'll keep you turned on. Cheers.